sit down. And Kathy is going to come and bring a reading from Mark chapter 4. Thank you.
Our reading can be found on page 1006 in the Pew Bibles, and it's Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
It's a very well-known incident in the Gospels, but it's also always relevant. Just to remember that Jesus in the boat is the Good Shepherd. I love this quote from Isaiah. "He tends his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." It's a lovely, beautiful picture of his care and his protection. So, good morning, by the way. I just thought if we'd missed that point. Morning. Okay, got the smiley face right. And now, this is a question, isn't it? Help, Lord. Has anybody ever here said, "Help, Lord"? Yeah. If you've ever said, "Help, Lord," please stay sitting down. Well, there we are. It's unanimous then. But it's true, isn't it? There's many, many things bring us to this point of crisis. And for this journey, this is very true for the disciples, because the storm that happened had several characteristics. First of all, it was unexpected. Secondly, it was sudden. And thirdly, it was overwhelming. And we can all have that. It could be something happens in the family, relational crisis. It could be an illness. Or something terrible happens on the news. Or just an accumulation of things comes to the point where the last straw feels like, "That's it, I've had it." And that's not a very nice place to be in, but it's something that seems to be part of a commonality for all of us. And it's not a respecter of persons or nationality or wealth. Some of the wealthiest people have got some very painful personal issues within families. We tend to look at these A-list people and think it's all utopia, but it isn't. They carry a lot of things in different ways, and because they're human. One of the strange things in this particular case is that they were actually on a journey the Lord had told them to go on. So the Lord had said, "Go in the boat." You know, when we're baptized, give our lives to Jesus, we sometimes think, "That's it. Mediterranean cruise now on." But then a storm happens. And if we accept the fact these things are going to happen, what we need to do is learn how to work with it. And not just go through the storm, but grow through the storm. Okay? This is sort of plain words there. You've not missed. Don't just go through it like, but grow through it. And there are different attitudes we can have to troubles. One attitude is to say, "Why have you let this happen, God?" You know, and you meet people like that. "It's not fair. I don't deserve this," and all the rest of it. Or we can say, "Lord, I haven't got a clue what's going on here, but please help me and teach me to learn what I can through it, because you're with me in it. Please help." Question. Which of the two attitudes is going to be most constructive? attitude A or attitude B? Well done, everybody. Because attitude A, if you've got a grudge against the Maker, you know, it's a bit like the disciples, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? And that was the question they asked. And what they didn't know then was just a few years down the road, Jesus would actually go to the cross, and of course he cares. How can we say he doesn't care? Of course he cares. There might be things we don't understand, but of course he cares. And we see in this wonderful account his responsiveness to the cry for help. Now, for these men, what they had to do, they came to the end of themselves, and we don't like that. The fishermen came to the end of their professional ability to sail the boat. Morning. We can find great security in our professional ability, even as pastors. And so there's something happens where you come to the end of even all the life skills you've got is not enough because the situation's too overwhelming. Don't know if you've been there. The second thing is, for those guys in the boats who weren't fishermen, they came to the end of their reliance on the professional fishermen for help, on other people. So there they were. The experts came to the end of themselves, and the others who put their faith in the experts came to the end of their reliance on them. And then what have you got? Or who have you got in the boat with you? You have to call on the Lord. And I do wonder if sometimes as a country, where God has blessed us over the years, sometimes like the prodigal, we have to come to the end of ourselves nationally before we say, Lord, help us. That's a generalism. Of course, there's loads of Christians praying. But personally, too, aren't there things where without the cattle prods, if you like, of a very difficult circumstance that makes us say, Lord, help. So we learn, don't we? I could have a big L plate on today. I've got one, I didn't bring it. How in these situations that we all get in different ways, shapes and forms, to say, Lord, please help me learn from this, wherever I'm at in life, to really grow through this. Rather than just go through the resentment, bitterness, anger and all the rest of it. And there's lots of things come out and the process can be really constructive. Because we have to learn how forgiveness works. We have to learn how trust works. We have to learn how eating God's word works. And if we come to the Lord and ask him for his help, then with the right attitude, then at the end of the day, the wrong attitude isn't going to change anything, is it? Just look in the mirror, and if it doesn't crack before it falls off. See? And so we need to learn. How do you think, I can even share this, because we all go through the school of, Lord help, I've had it. And we have to cry out to the Lord, and that seems to be a necessary ongoing to help us to grow. Now, the good news is here, look at these scriptures. Help, Lord, this is wonderful. Let's read this together. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Isn't that amazing? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord might be saved. Everyone except people who live 100 miles north of London. Or the people next door. No. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to some who call to you. What does all mean? Does that include you? Of course. That's where it's amazing, the gospel good news. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And this is such an encouragement. Because sometimes if you're going through it, you can feel pretty rubbish about yourself. You think, does the Lord hear me? Of course he does. It's forgiving and good, abounding in love, those three qualities to all who call to him. Praise God. Isn't that encouraging? So in the storm we learn, and whatever, and need to do this every day, live in this course. Let's just have a look at this boat. In 1986, the Sea of Galilee was so low because of a drought that they found this boat, and it's called the Jesus boat now, and you can Google it, Jesus boat, and it comes from the first century. They dated it, so it was around the time of Jesus, and they've made a model of it, and it's about 27 feet long, so it's about from the stage just to the gentleman there, that long, all right, and how wide is it? It's about that wide, but one arm length more, okay? So you can imagine, it's actually not very big. There's 13 guys in there. So you put that there, and you could actually, that boat would fit in this church, okay? So that is an interesting, by way of interest. And it was overwhelming, but the Lord is there, and something amazing happened. He just stood up and made that amazing declaration. Now, just before we look at some practical things of how we can work with the Lord to grow, butterflies, beautiful, aren't they? And they transform from, as you know, metamorphosis, caterpillars and things to here we are today. And years ago, I read somewhere of a butterfly farm where a guy had two identical butterflies stuck on the canvas on the wall. They hooked them up on the Hessian or something. And they both came hatched at the same time from their chrysalises. And they, when they come out, they're very wet. And there's a little thread joins them to the case. So they come out and then sort of recover. And as they hang there on the canvas thing. And you notice these two identical ones, so they were really struggling, so he cut a little cord on one of them, and it sat there and dried out. And the other one, it struggled for a couple of hours before it broke free, and he noticed that the one that struggled for 2 hours had all the beautiful pigmentation in the wings, and the ones he'd cut the cord off just didn't have the colour. Isn't that interesting? So we learn that through the... Sometimes we just have to persevere through these things because in that perseverance, the image of Jesus is formed more in us. And that's what God is really doing as a headline in us, to conform us to the image of Jesus. So the real prayer in these things is, Lord, how can I learn to be more like you in this? And sometimes I might be having to struggle with forgiving someone or trusting for this or something in our way of life we need to be more sort of tuned in and online with. And it can be a variety of things, but he'll always show us what it is. He's very good. As long as we come and say, please, Lord, teach me. He's a teacher, isn't he? Teach me. Show me. Help me to walk with you in the power of the Spirit more fully. So, three areas then. Coming through to a new place, the disciples came through to a new place in this experience. And as this church moves through and transitions through to a new place, and I praise God for the ministry that's been here for, how long has Michael been here for? How many? 17 years is a very long time. And amazing building work's gone on, and there's been all these changes. It's been really good. It's not always easy to navigate through building projects, but here we are today. And it's a lovely suite of buildings, isn't it? Makes it very easy to use for the kingdom. And praise God for that, and for you as a church that stepped up to the plate to make it all possible. It's a team. It's Team Jesus. But it's a time of change. So as you come to this time of change and thinking of this, let's use it to come through to a new place, first of all in relationship with Jesus. I know it's very easy to rely on the pastoral team. Praise God for that. But use the time, Lord, strengthen my one-to-one with you. And then in relationship with each other, and then in the area of ministry. We'll just unpack this very quickly. So first of all, relationship with Jesus comes through to a new dependency on him. And got the image there of communion. New faith, new trust. There is always something happens where you have to trust him more. That can even be for forgiving. Have you really done enough on the cross to forgive me all my sins? Yes. Makes it easier to forgive others then. And just learning how these things work. And especially there's a new intimacy with Jesus. Shepherds in the Middle East, what will happen sometimes is if a sheep is really errant, and what the shepherd will then do is, you know, keeps throwing his rod to keep it back in line. Sometimes a shepherd will deliberately break a leg. It sounds cruel, But then the sheep then has to live with the shepherd for 6 weeks while the shepherd nurses it back to health. A situation comes about where there needs to be a new dependency on the shepherd. But then after that, because there's such an intimacy develops, and in prayer you can tell the Lord everything, everything, all your anxieties, all the things that get to you. You learn, and then how he feeds back into that. What happens then is, sometimes you see it on Countryfile or something, where the shepherd walks along, and this sheep just comes up. And the shepherd just has his staff or something like that, and it's sort of like putting his arm around the shoulder, you know. And it's a very close intimacy is forged out of that time of pain and pressure. I'm just using an example there from shepherding and husbandry. I wouldn't want to say the Lord wants it, well, I'm going to get him right. No, it's not like that. But circumstances can work in a way that makes us say, Lord, help, I need you. But let's use that then to say, Lord, help me develop intimacy. Because it's your relationship with Jesus is everything. Your relationship with Jesus will see you through tomorrow and the next day and whatever else is going to happen within the ecology of the world system and, you know, difficulties in the global whatevers, and ultimately through to eternity. Your relationship with Jesus is everything. Talking with a Chinese believer once, a lady on a team responsible for 3 million Chinese believers. 3 million. And I asked her, Debbie, what can you teach us in the West? You're used to persecution. We aren't. It may well come. I think it will. And she said to me, I was expecting a strategy like, got to have house groups and that. No, she said, the most important thing is your relationship with Jesus. That's everything. Okay? That's our eternal life. Abide in me. And also sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. So we learn that, and the Lord's faithful to us. New intimacy and communion. And then there's a new discovery of his power. Whoa! He just stood up and rebuked the storm, and that was it. After they called on him for help. We learn something more about the amazing way the Lord works as we cry out to him, say, Lord, help. We learn about his presence and his character. He's humble and gentle in heart, but great authority. His responsiveness immediately, you know, when Peter was sinking and he walked on the water, immediately put his hand out and picked him up. And his power and his peace. And I don't know how else we can learn that apart from one-to-one. Now, do you ever heard anybody say, wish I had your faith? Well, it doesn't work like that, you know. Nobody else can eat for you, can they? Or if you're thirsty, I'll say, I'll have a drink of water for you, that's fine. No, it doesn't work like that. And these wonderful words of the Lord, let's read these together. This is a fantastic verse, you know, when you see the news and everything else going on. Ready? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Oh, that's one to memorize, isn't it? Take heart, take courage. Then they came through to a new place in their relationship with each other. How many of you have heard about Brexit? Remainers, leavers. So in the boat you had two characters I want to focus on. And there's others, of course. You had Simon the Zealot, who was part of the resistance movement against the Romans. Okay, the underground resistance. Think of France in the last war and the resistance. And you had Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was a collaborator. Now, I lived in Guernsey for 11 years ministering there. And that was under tri-German occupation for 4 or 5 years. And there's stories about those who collaborated with the Germans and those who didn't. And after the war, the different people made decisions about what they did with the shop, whether they had collaborated, all that stuff. And there was real tension. So in this boat, you've got somebody, you think somebody politically, let's use that word, who is collaborating with the Romans, seen as a traitor by the zealots, the underground resistance. And you get these opposing political views. But in this, something happened. They're all in the same boat. What they came out of with that was not a prioritizing around their political issues or any other issues, but the new centrality of Jesus. It's all about his kingdom. In this whole thing we go through in life, I believe what the Lord is really wanting to do is to advance his kingdom. That's what it's about. Whatever happens, Lord, grow the kingdom of God, of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. Amen? We've got to be part of that, don't we? We can have views on stuff, but our priority is Jesus and his kingdom. They have to live like this in the Middle East. I know believers in Jesus who are both Jewish and Arabic. Have they got a tough place? Some live in the West Bank, some in Gaza, and some in Israel, political Israel today. And they have to learn how this works, because you've got personalities, you've got families, you've got emotional things. No, it's your kingdom as a priority, Lord. That's what we need, that perspective. Advance the kingdom. And the book of Acts, you remember, whatever happened, the kingdom advanced, didn't it? There's persecution, non-persecution, boom. Let's be part of that. So they learned a new centrality of Jesus. And a new togetherness. We're all in the same boat. That was a classic saying. Team Jesus. This, brothers and sisters here, is Team Jesus in Wollaston. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, high five. Because that's what we are. It's not competition. Team Jesus in Wollaston. 3,500 people live here, about that? According to the 2011 census, looked it up. Right? Remember who you've got in the midst. Do you remember the loaves and fishes? Think of two small tins of tuna and five bits of pita bread on the table. You've got to feed the whole town with that and more. Got a catering team? That's what Jesus did. And isn't he the same today? Isn't it amazing what he can do through the smallest thing that little boy gave his lunch over? Don't worry about what you haven't got. Lord, I give you what I have. You take it and multiply. Amazing, isn't it? Catering team challenge. Are you going to admit who you are in public? Yeah, well done. Two little tins of tuna and five. Next time you go in the shop, look at it. And five bits of pita bread. Come in packets of six. Jesus had that, and he fed 5,000. That was just the men. There's women and children on top of that. That's amazing. And the same Lord is present with you and me today in the midst. Whoa. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Aren't all things possible to God? Doesn't he know how to save people? Of course he does. Doesn't he know how to change us? Didn't he say, I will build my church? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God. And he's the one who said, I am with you always. And then there's a big change in the area of ministry and mission. Just think what was happening. They had a new experience of Jesus that was life-changing. And they were moving from Capernaum, which was a Jewish town, to Gadara, which was a Gentile, a non-Jewish. It was cross-cultural. They were going to people they'd never been to before. That's good, isn't it? Not with a political agenda, but with Jesus. And the state of that man when they got, what a state it was in, a whole new dimension of ministry. You know, with Jesus, or with us as a church, sometimes we think it's mission impossible. With Jesus, it's mission possible. Even that man, what a state it was in, that poor man. Someone well, demonized guy. Jesus healed him. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And you think of who Jesus is, not just loaves and the fishes, but everyone who he just knew how to speak and say what was just right for the person's need. Boom. Amazing. Lord, teach us. And these guys in the boat could just watch him. Guy came through the roof. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And that's the one who is with us. So we learn, Lord, in this, help me to learn from my experience how to connect with people in a new way for you. Okay? And there's a new fruitfulness, therefore. Because part of what we go through, the Lord's strengthening us and is also equipping us. You know, if you're going through a hard time, isn't it great to have somebody alongside who's been there as well? Yes. But they've found their way through in Jesus is such an encouragement. Hallelujah. We are allowed to say hallelujah in the church. Praise the Lord. He's the good news. And praise God that we recognise we are all a work in progress. But he is committed to finishing the job. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion right up until the day of Jesus Christ. So there we are. Don't just grow through the storm. Don't just go through the storm. Grow through the storm. Should we just read that all off together? Growing through the storm. A. In relationship with Jesus. B. In relationship with each other. C. In the area of ministry and service. And of course, it really starts with worship, doesn't it? This is our spiritual worship. Surrendering our bodies. It starts there. And I'm going to ask you all, as a church at this point in time, to be part of this Team Jesus. First of all, to offer your personal walk with Jesus back to him, for him to make it what he wants here on in. You don't want to plateau out and just stop where you are, because he wants to grow all of us continually. That's my first thing I'd like to ask you. Lord, it's me and you. You're my shepherd. You're my maker. You, I'm your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to give up. So, one. Then, secondly, this thing about Team Jesus. Are you up for Team Jesus? Lord, help us to learn in a new way how to be stronger as Team Jesus. Together, love one another. Jesus said, as I've loved you. And then thirdly, in terms of fruitfulness and ministry, help us, Lord. Like the loaves and fishes, just bring you the little bit we've got, but in your hands, multiply out in a wonderful way in this community and beyond your love and your grace and the gospel. Hopefully, there's a yes to all of those. And I'd really hope that would be a wonderful thing that you feel able to connect with. Because for me, personally, if I'm not living in this myself, what have I got? I'm stuck. We all need to know, Lord, it's you and me in a new way, forward and then together. For you, teach us, help us. Much fruit. Amen.